That's happening in May. That's going to be awesome. The place is huge. The facilities is next level. So we're just really grateful for that. And I just quickly want to thank God with all of you guys just agreeing in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you that you provided for us so richly, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I actually believe it's one of the best spaces in town, Lord, that you've entrusted us. May your kingdom come in that place, Lord. May many hearts come to know Jesus. May many hearts be healed. May families be healed. May people turn around, Lord Jesus, and experience you in that building that you've given us, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that. Amen. Right. Okay. I know I'm just taking time for some ad breaks, but this is very important. There's three things happening, all right, in the next 2 months. One is only for guys. It's the men's camp, right? It's the last weekend in April. Toy is in charge. Toy, just once again, just stand up with you. That's Toy. Go chat to him. There was a place with like bathrooms and stuff, and they said, no, we don't want to go there. We want to go where there's nothing. So apparently we're going to rough it or something, and they've got like spikes on the road so you get a flat tire on the way there and fix it, because that's what guys like to do. And there's like mud in the road so that one guy can come and tow another guy out. It's all those kind of stuff. It's going to be awesome. All right, I'm going to go definitely, and I'm looking forward to spend some time with you guys as well. I'm getting to know some of you better and catching up with others. So I'm definitely going to go. Then we have Awaken Women Conference. Now, on every second seat, there's a little ticket for the ladies. The theme of this year is a beautiful story. Am I right? You can type in that web address, and there's a little video, and you can see all the information there. So that's only for the girls. All right? So that's like their opposite from roughing it. Okay, they'll be spoiled and treated that weekend in May. Amen? But the most important thing for you to remember now and tell your friends about is what's happening in the middle of April. That is Foundation 3. All right? All the building that we've been doing this year, starting from every sermon in the beginning of the year up to now, works towards Foundation 3. It has been the course in this church that gives the most momentum into our marriages and healing into our hearts. So don't do something stupid on that weekend when Foundation 3 is happening. Don't go visit your grandma that weekend, okay? Visit her the next weekend, all right, or the previous one. Take that weekend and make sure you're there. There's dates at the back. You can put your name on a piece of paper and we'll put up a WhatsApp group. It's going to be awesome. So make sure that you invest into your heart. Amen? Right, let's start. I want to preach two or three sermons on sonship. And I'll take some time and explain to you what that means, because for some of you, maybe it's a new term. I tried to define it in my own words, and I type out a slide, then I delete it, because I cannot get a definition that I feel confident enough to put on the screen for sonship. It's a big concept, and I'm going to try and explain it the best I can. This is one of the things we must preach through every year. Okay, it's for me, it qualifies as quite a central doctrine. If you get this, you'll do well. All right. There's other factors in your life as well, like your character and whether you've got support and whether you're part of a life-giving church like ours that helps you grow in your calling. But I can say this: if you don't get this, if you don't get this at all, you cannot step into the place that God has called you to be in this world. There's no possibility. Right? It's okay to go through times when you feel it's a rough and you don't hear God's voice, and it's almost like for a week you don't feel you've walked in that place of sonship. But if ultimately you don't get this, you cannot live out your calling. This is so important. And last year we did a sermon on this way in the beginning of the year because it was important to me. This year I'm going to spend 2 or 3 weeks on this. All right? to make sure and to help you. A lot of what we're doing tonight is taking together what we did last year. So bear with me, some of the concepts you would have heard. You have to hear this every year, if not every 6 months. This is so important. This will help your marriage. This will help you at your workplace. This will help you in your small group. This will help you in your relationship with God, firstly and above all. Okay? When we started this year, the first sermon series we had was Meant for More. And this is a slide I had on the screen earlier this year. The battle for your faith will be fought on the plains of lies and truths. All right? The battle for your faith will be fought on the plains of lies and truths. This is so important. What you believe in your heart determines how you live. It determines the decision you make. It determines whether you find yourself in a space of having joy, walking in this life through joy, or whether you generally experience a spirit of heaviness, all right? What you believe in your heart about you and your relationship with God is the fountain of your life. That's why the Bible, that's why Christ, when he speaks, when he teaches parables, he's helping us to believe certain things, all right? If you believe what Jesus teaches, if you believe what in the Bible and you make it yourself, you make it your own, you will be victorious, okay? What you believe is the fire in your heart. And sonship is probably one of the main things that God wants to deal with every heart as soon as they become his, right? When you believe in Jesus, you are called a son, all right? Or a daughter. But it is possible, hear me here, it is possible to receive Jesus, and this is the key, this is what we're working with tonight. It's possible to receive Jesus as your Savior, which means he is your Father, but you can still live like an orphan. Right? You can have a great Father, but still live like an orphan because of what you believe. Many of us actually experience that with our relationship with our real fathers. Some of us, sometimes in the age 20 to 30, we wake up one day and we realize, I actually had a great dad all along. And that happened to me in my life. And I know my dad's not perfect, but there was a day when I realized, hey, I actually have a great dad. He really loves me. And for years, my face was turning in another way. He was there all along. And our relationship with God echoes that often. And I'm gonna fight around those thoughts tonight. And I want you to be eager to find something to respond to at the end of the service, okay? I want you to search your heart tonight and look for something to say, Lord, I want to do better here. Is that okay? Can we do that as a challenge? I don't want you to say, okay, I want to try and be okay. No, I want you to move forward tonight. If you had a great place with God, one step forward more, all right? That's how I'm thinking about this. Okay, remember Ephesians 2 verse 12, that you were at that time separated from Christ. Paul is writing and he's speaking about the time before the people at Ephesus have heard and accepted Christ, right? You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise. Basically what he's saying is you did not know God, you were disconnected, right? And you had no hope, having no hope, and without God in the world, all right? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Right, that is why we exist. We don't do church so that you can feel better when you go home tonight. I went to church for years because of that fact, right? Why are we here? We are here because God is still doing this today. Think about someone that is so far away from God that you almost can't think that person can live for God. Now let me tell you what God can save that person like this. He brings people out of darkness into light. That's what he does. When Jesus is alive in a church, we see this. All right? This is amazing. This is why we exist. And all of us were part of verse 12, and all of us can be a part of verse 13 if we turn our hearts to God. You with me? Once we were outside. That's the key. But now you are inside. Something has changed. Once you were alone, but God has brought you near. Okay? Now, God's heart, God's language, I'm just painting a picture here, is family. He speaks of himself as a father. Now, this is very important. It is very hard for us, initially as believers, especially as young believers, to connect with God as a father, because the father figures in our lives are not perfect. Let me just say it like that. So it's often difficult for us to say, hey, yo, I understand what it means when God says he's a good father. For a lot, some of us didn't have fathers. And to be really honest, some of us didn't have good fathers. Some of us had fathers that did well, but still not perfect. Some of us had fathers that maybe didn't want you. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the truth. It's the world we live in. So we often come to God and we relate with him as Lord, which is good. It's a start. Okay, Lord, tell me what to do. It's a good start. I want to obey you. But God wants to be your father also. And that's why it's so important what we're doing here tonight. And that's why Foundation 3 is crucial. Saying it again, if you don't get this, it will be so difficult for you to walk into that place of your calling, okay? Now, just an experiment. I want you to think about a moment in your life when you got really hurt. Okay, just close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes for a moment. Think of a moment in your life when you got really hurt. Maybe you still feel that hurt. Okay, open your eyes. Can I ask you, who of you, if you think about that moment, it had something to do with another person? Hand up. Okay? It's a bit of a duh answer because it's mostly got to do with people. Okay? It could be that you were in an accident, okay? It could be that your pet died, but mostly it's got to do with relationship. And so what the enemy wants to do in your life and mine is he wants to create a door through the events of sin. Sin is in this world settled, done. We cannot, while we're on earth, we have to deal with a broken world, all right? But now, if stuff happens in your life that inflicts pain on your heart or injure you, it creates a door for the enemy to lie to you. I told you God didn't love you. I told you he likes it when you do stuff for him, but he doesn't really care for you. And so he breaks down the image of God the Father in your life. And if he can do that, if he can succeed in that, he hurts you in a very deep place. All right? And tonight we're fighting back. We're taking back ground. Now, what happens when the father figure of God is taken away from us? If we haven't met him yet, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, by default, this applies to your life, okay? Is that there's something in you, and maybe you can put your finger on it and maybe not, but there's something in you that wants to please something or someone greater than you. And that something and someone will take the forms of a group, maybe your friends. That's where peer pressure comes from. It's a desire to please someone. It's a desire for someone to think or say, well done. It's in us. You can do what you want. You can stand on your head. You cannot get away from that because God made you like that. You live to please God. You live to please God. That's how he designed it. But if the enemy can take that drive that is in you and take it away from God, you will live to please something else. Someone else. It never ends well. Listen to me. It never ends well. And we see marvelous Facebook pics, updates. I'm having so much fun. My life is so great. We know what's behind the mask. Okay, behind the highlights, who am I? And God wants to settle that tonight in our hearts. that what I just described is normal in verse 12. It's normal before I know Christ, before my relationship with Him starts to grow, to feel like that, to live to please. What actually happens, I become a slave to another calling which is not my own. All right. What we also see is when God is not in the picture, that I start to live a life to please my parents, because maybe they have had ideals for me. They always wanted me to be a musician. They always wanted me to be a businessman. And so I start to walk in a calling that's not mine. I live to please. All right? It's in us. But now if that desire, that drive connects with God, you got something that will blow this world away. Slowly but surely, you start to step into your calling and you look at God, audience of one, right? And you start to live and please Him. Mountains starts to move. Life starts to change. Stuff happens in your heart. I'm running ahead of myself. Now, when we talk about sonship, all right? If on the one side we have sonship, which is, I'm going to just describe it more or less, is you connect with God as your Father, all right? In that place, you realize it's okay for me to make mistakes, all right? Because my Father loves me anyway. Hey, I want to grow, not to make those mistakes again, but either way, He loves me. That's the heart of God the Father. Did you know that? Okay? When I'm not in that place of sonship, what I believe is if I make a mistake, if I fail at something, I fail. That's the difference. So you're so hard on yourself. When you make a mistake, just make a mental note. Maybe it's some of us. When you make a mistake, it's so difficult for you. Because when your boss tells you, listen, you failed, or your mom or your husband, it is so hard on you because you know what? There's something that needs to be settled here. It's okay to make mistakes. You are loved in any case. Grow, yes. We all want to grow, amen? But that's the difference between sonship. Another example is, and I don't want to get too much into next week, but the fruit of sonship is also this. When you are a son of God, when you experience His love in your life, it's much easier for you to work in a team, all right? Because you're okay if people tell you you are wrong. Because what people say about you is not what define you. And it's not like you have the attitude of, I don't care what you say to me, you know what, I'm okay. No, that's also part of fatherhood. You take it when it comes to you, okay? Listen, that is, you were wrong. It's like you can absorb those kind of words because that's not what define you. On the other side, it's very difficult for people with a father wound. That's the opposite of being in a place of sonship. It's very difficult for those with a father wound to work well in a team because they are so scared that they drop the team, or they're so scared that everyone won't be pleased with them, that they'd rather exclude themselves and be alone. All right? Sonship always helps us to engage, which is risky. It's risky to engage with people because people give feedback and they say like, oh, that was good, oh, that was bad. They don't like to hear bad things, all right? In a place of sonship, it's easier for you to take steps of faith because you're okay with failing, all right? If you have a fear of failing, just make a mental note. It's a sonship thing. It's okay to fail, all right? It's okay to make mistakes. I made a mistake tonight. I said the kids can be out yet. I remembered my boy is one of those, so he'll probably start banging doors and pulling the tablecloth off the table, but I'll take the punch for that. I just want to read you some stats. The effect of fatherlessness. Boys without fathers, more than twice as likely to be arrested for a juvenile crime. Now, a juvenile crime is when you're underage, okay? Minderjarig. They do this on every boy that's get arrested. Every boy, and all those things, they do tests to find out, how did this man get you? And most of the time, it comes back to a broken family. Not only fatherlessness, but also one parent. twice as likely to be treated for emotional and behavioral problems, roughly twice as likely to be suspended or expelled from school, and a third more likely to drop out before completing high school. All right. Now, I quickly jumped from Father God to just fathers because God uses us to mirror Him. All right. My father is not expected to be God, but there's something about God that comes to me through my father. All right. But sometimes the example that comes through a father actually does more harm. Okay, I know it's sensitive to talk about this, but let's put it on the table. Because the thing is, if you grow up, and let me just throw it like this, in a foster home, but you meet God the Father, you'll be okay. Okay? Then you can have almost the perfect parents, but if you don't meet Father God, you might have problems. Your relationship with Father God is the key, right? Now, when our families function well, it helps and it assists and gives us a platform. But at the end of the day, it always comes back to Father God. So you may sit here today and say, listen, I've got a problem. Varys is talking about fatherlessness and I never knew my dad. God the Father is here to deal with that. Amen? And that's why we are here. Check this out. Psalm 68 verse 4. Sing to God, sing in praise of His name, extol Him who rides on the clouds, rejoice before Him. Why? His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless. All right? A defender of widows is God in His holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. Where's that family? Where's the family God set you in? He sets the lonely in families. He heads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So some of you say, hey, I never had a father. This is difficult for me. Some of you say, I had a dad, but we didn't get along. Let me tell you what. God's grace worked like this. He gives tonight to anyone a blank page. He says, I'm willing to put you in a family. I'm willing to build into you all those gems, all those stuff that I've planned for you through the years. Doesn't matter how old you are. Today, God is saying, I can set you in a family and deal with that in a moment. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that freeing? Your relationship with God the Father supersedes every relationship. Now, when you come into a place of sonship in front of God and you realize, man, He's a father and He loves me and He frees you, every other relationship in your life changes. Okay? Suddenly, the pressure of performance that you have in your heart towards your wife, she needs to be a certain way for you to handle her or your friends, it suddenly falls away because something gets done in your relationship with God and it just relieves pressure all over. No longer is it necessary for my wife to affirm who I am in the deep part of my spirit? Because you know what? She cannot do it. It's impossible. And so people don't know this, but this expectation gets carried into marriage, and then we've got problems a few years down the line. I'm sorry, but it's true. All right? The same with friendships. If I'm your friend because deep in me there's something I want you to give me, you cannot give it to me. Only God can do that. And I've got a testimony out of my own life. My dad and I, we never had a good relationship. He was a good father in broad terms because you know what? He provided for us and he loved me. But the problem is we could never see eye to eye, all right, before I knew the Lord. Because he builds machines. Technically, he is amazing. And I couldn't care. When he was busy in the garage building Harleys and little airplanes, I was next door playing cricket, all right, or rugby with a guy. So we never had a good relationship. My wife will tell you, it was kind of a tense situation for me. I just survived. I just went on. But when I gave my heart to the Lord when I was in university, and especially around Foundation 3 back then, that's a few years back, I connected with God the Father for the first time in my life, and I realized God wants to be my Father and that He loves me. And so what the Holy Spirit led me to do is to forgive my dad for the stuff I perceived he did wrong, okay? Because I had to realize he's not perfect. But I also asked forgiveness before God for the son I've been. I went home, and something changed in me. I went to my dad and I hugged him. He stood like this. Well, that's a bit of an awkward moment. You know when there's someone with no personal bubble, it's like all over people and there's someone like, hey, okay. But something broke that day and God stepped into our relationship and we are like this. You cannot separate us now. Now, did my dad change? Something changed in me. God came and dealt with a wound, an expectation I placed on my father. I'm using a few examples here. Okay? And he dealt with that. If I didn't deal with that, that expectation would be on Janae right now. For her to perform, to be perfect, to validate me, to make me feel like a man, to make me feel strong and mean something. It's not on her. God dealt with it. That's the power of sonship. Okay? And so I just want to say this as a broad, as an umbrella term. If you deal with this, don't run past this water point. Okay, we're doing a lot of stuff in churches here. We're busy with sonship. Don't rush through this. Work through this. You will do well in all relationships if you engage in this. It's a promise I make you. This is the heart of all relationships in your life. Follow me here. Are you still with me here tonight? Great. For some of you, it's going to go a bit over your head, but it goes into your spirit. Okay, but don't leave me here. Sit and pray and say, Lord, make me a son. Lord, make me a daughter. I just want to say this quickly. When the Bible speaks of sonship, okay, it's not discriminating against women, okay? A son was the heir of his father, and the son carried the name of his father. But now all of us, male or female, are now called by the name of Christ. And all of us are heirs. There's an erfgenaam, okay? So that makes you, in a spiritual sense, a son, even if you're a woman, okay? It's a weird thing to perceive, but I'll say son or daughter every now and then when I remember. But that's the thing about sonship. You are an heir in Christ. The moment you turn your heart to God, stuff gets deposited in you, whether you're male or female, sonship, all right? Let's read this slowly. And he said there was a man who had two sons. This is the ultimate story of sonship. This is sonship right here, okay? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Now, you're supposed to receive your inheritance when your father dies. This guy goes up, tells his father, I want my inheritance. Basically telling his dad, I wish you died. Okay? They don't have a flourishing relationship. Let me just put it like that. Okay? And the father divided his property between them, gave his sons the inheritance. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. You see, the whole thing around sonship, if it's not dealt with when you've got the opportunity, it's got the ability to go worse, worse and worse. You start with giving my inheritance. Then you go away from home. Then you go hungry. Then next thing you're working for some guy. It always tends to go down, down, down. That's why we need to deal with it, okay? And he was longing to be... Oh, so he went and hired himself to one of the citizens. Read that. Verse 16. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. You just go to the next slide. Now, process the story for a while. It's simple what Jesus is trying to say here. God is the good father, all right? And we are the lost son, okay? I'm not going to go into the other son that stayed at home. Let's focus on this. Both of them had father wounds, by the way. There's two sons, and the father wounds worked a bit differently. Let's just focus on this one for tonight. Was the father a good father? You have to say that because I said the father is God. Okay. Let me say it this way. The father was an amazing father in the beginning of the story. And the father was an amazing father at the end of the story. In the beginning, his son comes to him, insults him. His father gives him his inheritance. Is he a good father? Is he an extravagant father? Yes, he is. Okay? He was a loving dad when he ran to his son. He was a loving dad when he welcomed him back. The father was a good father all along. Agree? Okay. We don't see the father having an encounter with God. Okay? We don't see the father coming to his senses. Why? Because the father is a perfect father. He's God in this sense. All right? But when the son came home, he came home to a different father. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Why? Because the son changed. Something in him changed. And so when he came home, suddenly he wants to serve his father. Suddenly he just wants to be there. Just like, even make me a servant. Let me just be there. What changed? Not the father. The father didn't move to a new house that the son liked. The father didn't buy a sports car that the son wanted to drive. Same father. Something happened in the heart of the son. I want to say something. This is one of my favorites. It spins in my mind. I just want to put it on Facebook, but I have to pull myself back, otherwise I'll post it every day. But write this down. If you're not a son, every father will let you down. Right? If you're not a son, every father will let you down. The heart of sonship is something that must happen in my heart. Or the perfect father won't be good enough for you, starting with God. And it's interesting when my relationship came right with Father God, suddenly my earthly father, I fell in love with him all over again. If you're not a son, every father will let you down. The same is true for this church. Did you know that? If you're a son in your heart in this church, your small group leader won't let you down. Are you with me? If you're not a son, you will have a problem with your small group leader. You will have a problem with your worship leader, Warren. That's how it works. Sorry. And Cole. You will have a problem with me because you have a problem. Alright? I'm trying to say that as honest as I can. The problem is issue of the heart. If you're not a son, every father will let you down. But it's interesting how the whole world changes the moment Father God becomes your father. Suddenly there's love for that guy that you're seeing at work. It's like you just understand what's going on there. Like, now I see. He is a human being. Now I see he's got also tension at home. I understand now. and Father God steps in and touches you, everything changes. It's weird. It's amazing. Let me just tell you, it's amazing to be married with someone who's got that. Can I get one amen from the marrieds? It changes your marriage. Okay? You can start to enjoy one another because you don't have to please something in that person's spirit which you ultimately cannot please, or you can't even touch it. It's so deep. Only God can deal with it. And then it comes down from a hectic relationship, amazing like marriage, all the way down to friends. If you've got a friend that understands sonship, it's the best friend. Because he's got this heart, I will serve you. I'll be your friend even if I have to serve you. Because something is settled. You don't have to worship him. Okay? You don't have to tell him how amazing he is. It's dealt with God. It's amazing. Sonship holds the key. It's difficult to bring the gospel, okay, of a saving God to people when they sense that you are so needy for their approval. Okay? God must come and be that savior to you first. I'm not only talking about giving your heart, I'm talking about becoming your father. Something that gets settled here, where external circumstances no longer define who you are. Make sense? Sonship, it is so powerful. And you know why we need to get this? Because we are a young church. We're a young church. And most of us still have fathers. Most of us have seniors at work. Except for Carla, she's going all the way to CEO or something in Sasol. Ultimately, if you work for Sasol, you've got a problem. Just talk to Carla. It comes back to her through some other winding road. Ah, Carla, we just have to celebrate you a bit. Sonship starts with God. I want to be your son. I don't only want to be your slave. I don't only want to be saved and do stuff for you. I want to be your son. And if that's a desire in your heart, it's a good desire. Let me just say this. If you feel you have a need in your heart to be seen by people, to be recognized by people, if you feel there's a need, I want people to validate me. Okay. If you recognize that and you take it to God, then it's a good thing that you experience it because it's God that's doing that. But you have to take it to Him. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to struggle in so many relationships. If you recognize it, take it to Him and say, God, deal with it in my heart. And He will deal with it tonight. In a certain sense, it's time to come home. It's time to come to God the Father and to settle that. Because you can be a son, but be outside the house, all right? Okay, now, I use this example. It's my piece of notes here, the same as last year, but I want to say it again. Because God, He fathers us, but He also wants us to have fathers, all right? In church. That can be, you can see me as a father figure even if you're older than me. All right, you can see your small group leader as a father figure. How does that work? It works more or less like this. So when I come into the church and my heart is open before God as a son, and I'm in a way, Lord, teach me stuff, make me your son, mold me, work with me. So I come into church and I see Warren or Carl and the band, I see them worshiping their lungs out. Now when they started, I was still chilling at home. Right? When I come in here and I see these guys preparing, it ministers something to me. It says, here's a bunch of people that's committed to God. And you know what it says to me? God is committed to you. So I get fathered in that moment. God speaks to me about His commitment to me through the commitment of others. Okay? Afterwards, there's coffee, there's snacks, Henriette and the ladies, Rolene and them, they've set up nice stuff. But because my heart is open, I notice that because I'm also here early and I realize, hey, God is the one who hosts me ultimately. So they father me. They women younger than me, but they father me because my heart is open to be fathered. Can you see how you can be fathered in a church even if there's not a lot of old people? You with me? I see parents bringing in their kids, and I know it's sometimes hard and they want to play and they scream, but they bring their families into the house of God, and it fathers me. I'm like, okay, family is important to those people. They are here. And so I get fathered, even though I'm the pastor. That's amazing, eh? And that's how sonship works. Anyone can father you if your heart is open. But if you're not a son, every father will let you down. You can go to any church. You'll walk out of there, I'm not happy. You'll walk to the next one, I'm not happy. Because you know, the problem is not with the church. You have a problem with sonship. God wants to take that place. Amen. Last slide. Are you still with me tonight? Are you excited about this? Listen, this is deep. This is not a jokey sermon. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I like to make jokes, but this is so important. That's why I have joy. I've got a sustaining joy because of this. I feel so sustained because of my relationship with Father God. It's scary. It is what keeps me going, joyful and lighthearted. But I need to deal with this, all right, to move forward. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Okay? Now, the spirit of the enemy, all spirits, if you want to refer to this as plural, will always come in this in the form of slavery. Will always come to tie you up, break you down, make you feel as if you don't belong. Remove a bond between you and the Father, because the spirit of slavery actually works against the spirit of adoption. Okay? So if you say, hey, I want to be a son of God, I want you to know you have opposition. It's a spirit of slavery. When you make a mistake, oh, no one's going to like me. I'm just always wrong, and I'm just here, and I'm not important. That's the sound of the spirit of slavery. Okay? And so if you can remember or hear yourself think or speak like that, say, thank you, Lord, that you are showing it to me. I'm stepping into sonship tonight. Okay? A friend, okay, who is not a son, a friend who has not experienced sonship in God often comes as your competition. Okay? A Bible scholar, okay, someone who knows a lot about the Bible, who's not a son, is often a critic. Oh, you're doing that wrong. Oh, you're doing that wrong. Oh, you suck at that. Okay? In small group, if I don't have the heart of sonship, I see everyone's mistakes. If I got the heart of a son, I see what that person can become. Because when you step in the position of sonship, you experience God embracing you, not pushing you away. And you know you make mistakes, but you know He embraces you. And so when you are put in a position, for example, in a small group, and there's people with mistakes, what do? Exactly the same. You embrace, even though there's mistakes. But if you live by the law where you believe, you know, no, God's going to reject me if you make a mistake, watch out, you will reject others when they make mistakes. Sonship is such a key into bringing near. All right? Is this understandable, guys? Do you get that? In your heart, at least. This is so amazing. If you're not a son, every father will let you down. If you're not a son, every pastor will let you down. Every small group leader will let you down. If you're not a son, every husband will let you down. If you're not a son, every wife will let you down. Problem is not your wife. Problem is you. Okay? She cannot be perfect. It's not possible because she's not made to be perfect. She's made to be broken before God, and then He can shine through her brokenness. And the same the other way around. Amen? When you go on missions, who's going on missions? You don't have to be perfect to go on missions. You just need to go on missions to go on missions. All right? God works through you. It's okay. Yeah, but I can't pray well. That's okay. You just pray what you know. He works through you. Sonship. It's okay. You can just go. You love. Yeah, but people don't like the way I pray because other people, they've known this terms. Doesn't matter. You love anyways. Can you grow in prayer? Yeah, I'll grow in prayer. But don't let that be a measuring stick, because you know what? If you measure yourself, you come to a place of praying well, and you're like, yeah, then you're going to judge someone else that can't pray well. All right? You loved. Just come. Doesn't matter what you do. But this one thing you can stand up tonight. This one thing you can stand. That's a key of being a son. Okay? Carla, if we can have you. There's one thing in sonship that's important. And that you have to go to the Father. Okay? You cannot stay with the pigs and become a son. You have to get up from the pigs and go to the Father. Are you with me? He is waiting for you. But you have to go there. You can't remain. And it's the same with God. Faith always have legs, okay? Faith always involves a move. And I want you just to close your eyes where you're standing tonight, because I really want to deal with this. There's many sons in this house. I know it. I know it because of the way people serve in this church. It's a sign of healthy sonship. People feel this is their home, and so they serve. I come here on Sunday and I preach a message, everything is done, because there's many sons in this house. But grow even more. Grow closer to the Father there. Some of you are not even with the pigs, you're further away. That's okay. You have to come to Him. And so what I want to do is I want to pray for us. I'm going to make an invitation. I told you in the beginning of the sermon I'm going to make one. And we're going to recommit to God specifically as a Father. All right? So while every eye is closed, I just quickly want to pray for us, and then I'm going to ask you to respond when I invite you. Father, you know every heart. And Lord, even though we are different in many ways, we're all the same in that not one of us is perfect. Not one of us has got it down. In that way, we're all the same. Not one of us gets born with a healthy perception of God the Father. All of us are skewed in our hearts when we think about that. But all of us can be redeemed by you. All of us tonight can step into a place of sonship. And so while every eyes are closed, I just want to ask you, if you want to make a commitment into sonship, I want you to lift your hand up very high. Very high. Thank you for all those hands. I'm not going to even ask you to move or come out. Just keep your hand up, because there's too many people to come forward. But I want to tell you this, and you can keep your eyes closed. I want you to listen to me very carefully. You are planned by God. He knows about the wars in your heart. He knows about your mistakes. He knew about it all along. Okay? He loves you still. Take a breath. Okay? He loves you. Take the pressure off your shoulder. Take off the spirit of heaviness. You don't have to be a perfect son, because you can't. Jesus was perfect so that you can come. Amen? So I want you guys just to pray after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. And I want to thank you that I am a son. Sons make mistakes. Sons mess up. But you love me nonetheless. Lord, here's my heart. I want to live for you. I want to do amazing things for you. I come back to you from the pigs. I run back into your home. Now show me. Teach me. Lead me. I want to grow. But you love me anyways. And Father, use me to change this world, to touch lives. And Lord, I bring every relationship in my life before you. My relationship with my parents, with my friends, with my spouse, with my work colleagues. And help me, Lord, to have relationship from a place of sonship. Let me embrace just like you embrace. Let me welcome just like you welcome. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, I'm going to dismiss this meeting.